The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on March 28, 1983 in Sridham, Mayapur. The class begins with a lecture from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 25, Verse 23.
Chanting and hearing about me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The sadhus do not suffer from material miseries because they are always filled with thoughts of my pastimes and activities. Translation or repetition. Engage constantly in chanting and hearing about me. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. The sadhus do not suffer from material misery because they are always filled with thoughts of my pastimes and activities. Report by Srila Prabhupada. There are multifarious miseries in material existence, those pertaining to the body and the mind, those imposed by other living entities, and those imposed by natural disturbances. But a sadhu is not disturbed by such miserable conditions because his mind is always filled with Krishna consciousness. And thus he does not like to talk about anything but the pastimes of the Lord. Vachansi Vaikuntha Gunan Uvanane. He engaged his words only in the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sadhus are always interested in hearing about the activities of the Lord or his devotees. Since they are filled with Krishna consciousness, they are forgetful of the material miseries. Ordinary conditioned souls, being forgetful of the activities of the Lord, are always full of anxieties and material tribulations. On the other hand, since the devotees always engage in the topics of the Lord, they are forgetful of the miseries of material existence. Thus in the purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Engage constantly in chanting and hearing about me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The sadhus do not suffer from material miseries because they are always filled with thoughts of my pastimes and activities. So here is the secret for eradicating all misery in life. There are so many miseries and there are so many cures, but the miseries of life have never been completely cured by anyone in this material world. Just like in modern society, they're inventing so many new medicines, but nature is also coming out with so many new diseases that they cannot keep up. But here, in altogether different categories of transcending all the suffering of material miseries is being given. It's very simple, not at all difficult to do. It's simply to fill the mind with thoughts of Krishna's pastimes and activities, with the activities and pastimes of Krishna's pure devotees. not very difficult. Yet, when it comes to reading every day, 1 hour, 2 hours, it's very difficult. Although it's not difficult, still somehow or another it seems difficult to find the time. But if someone throws a Newsweek or a daily newspaper on the lap, you can destroy 1 hour or a half hour without the bat of an eyelash. So although it's not very difficult to hear about Krishna, we are not in the habit, we're not in the practice of spontaneously hearing about Krishna. When we hear about Krishna, we like it. At that moment, we think, I'd rather not think about anything else. Why can't I always be hearing this nectar? But then some other time, the devotees get into so many other discussions and their mind becomes disturbed. And from that disturbed mind, then one can lose the taste, at least temporarily, of devotional service, and all trouble begins. Therefore, what has the Bhagavat himself advised us? Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. That daily we should be drinking the nectar of the Bhagavat. What is Bhagavat? Prabhupada describes that Bhagavad Gita means spoken by Krishna, and Srimad Bhagavatam means spoken about Krishna. So, by hearing the glories of Krishna, by hearing the glories of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can actually forget about all the suffering. Our mind no longer is tuned in to all those sufferings of this material world. Rather, it's tuned in directly to that eternal bliss coming from the spiritual world. So, we simply have to decide where we want to tune into. And when we see that we're getting static, we're tuned into the wrong channel, and we see that our mind starts to become disturbed, starts to become in an impatient state, if we start to become impatient to again hear some more discussions about Krishna, impatient to hear more about devotional service, well, that's a very good sign. In fact, that is the definition of the beginning of spiritual life. Dharma sanusthita pungsana visvakshena patasu jat notpāraya dhiti ratim sraveva hikevala. When we start to become eager to hear about Krishna, eager to hear about how we can render devotional service, that means that our spiritual life is in a proper position. And if we're not eager, if we're not desirous, if that taste is not yet developed, that means that we're still in a most neophyte stage. So this is a very good opportunity, this Mayapur Vrindavan pilgrimage, to hear from so many advanced devotees of the Lord, dedicated servitors of Srila Prabhupada, about devotional service, about the pastimes of Krishna, so that we can develop that taste. Yesterday was mentioned how on Parikram, that although when we're walking to and from the places, we're feeling heat, we're feeling difficulties, but when we're hearing about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, at that moment we forget about all our surroundings. And when we come back, we have a smile on our face because we tasted some happiness from the transcendental realm. But when Lord Advaita was here in Navadvipa, he looked around and he saw that the people, they were not getting any juice. upon sense gratification. They were simply absorbed in religious principles for material elevation, for going to heavenly planet or for getting some material reciprocation. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us money. Give us wealth. Give us a good education. People are absorbed simply in material business. And he saw that they are so unfortunate, they're missing out on the real nectar. And he started to think, as a pure devotee, as a Goshtiyanandi Das, although he's Mahavishnu, he was in that mood, the preaching mood. He was thinking how to bring these people to pure God consciousness. How to bring them to pure bhakti, devotional service. But our Advaita Gosai, in his humble state of mind, he came to the conclusion that I am inadequate to the job. I cannot bring them to that state. They're too far gone. But somehow or another, if Lord Krishna himself, Chaitanya, comes down, if Gauranga comes down, he can deliver everyone. He can give every last man, woman, and child pure devotional service. So, Advaita Gosai, we know how he was so much absorbed in this mood to deliver all the fallen souls. He couldn't tolerate that they were simply religious, that they were doing their worship to God without any desire for actually serving Krishna and loving Krishna. What to speak of today, where people have absolutely forgotten about even worshiping God in many places. His disturbance that they're actually not real devotees of God, they're businessmen in exchange with God, trying to get something back from God, not really loving God, not tasting the real nectar. Therefore, he started to do a great tapasya. He started to fast. And he started to cry out, Gauranga, Gauranga, Gauranga. He was praying for the advent of Lord Chaitanya. Simultaneously, nearby, while he was praying in Shantipur, nearby, Haridas Thakur was praying in Puliya for the descent of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who alone can give his pure devotional service. So Advaita was fasting, he was crying that these souls could be delivered, crying for the coming of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and loudly shouting, Gauranga, Gauranga, Prabhu, crying, shouting, fasting. And then he took the Ganges water. He took the Ganges water and he started to offer the tulsi flowers. And he had a shaligram and he was offering the tulsi flowers. You've seen how our American DVD is published in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. While he's doing his puja, he's offering again and again worship to Lord Chaitanya, praying, crying, until finally his loud shouting actually reached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and shook him, that I have to come. In fact, Advaita said that if my name is Advaita, if I am not different from the Supreme Lord, if I am Mahavishnu, then on my call he must come. Otherwise, my name is not Alberta, and I am not who I am. So because of his intense desire, the Lord decided to come. Therefore, every one of us is so much indebted to Advaita Gosai for his bringing down Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But you can imagine, even Advaita, he heard that word that the Lord was coming, but Lord Chaitanya, he didn't reveal himself. He didn't reveal himself that initially that he was the Lord. In fact, he used to go and sit at Advaita Gosai's Bhagavatam class with his elder brother, Viswarupa. Whether Advaita knew or not, but he didn't reveal it. Neither did Lord Chaitanya's Nimai Pandit reveal it. In fact, as Nimai Pandit, Lord Chaitanya was arguing and defeating so many people under Shastra, he wasn't revealing who he was. Until after he came back from Gaya, after Jagannath Mitra left the world, when he came back and he was completely in his devotional mood, he made all of his students in his class, he made all of them chant Hare Krishna. He gave him the choice. You can go to some other teacher, or you can take up the Harinam with me, whatever you like. But all of his students, they didn't want to leave Lord Chaitanya. They joined him. But they told him, we don't know how to do Sankirtan. You've been teaching us grammar, Vyakaran, Sanskrit, everything. You never taught us how to do the chanting. You have to teach us if you want us to do. So then Lord Chaitanya called some of the pure devotees from Navadvip here. He called them and said, now you do kirtan, I want you to teach all my students. You know the toughest nuts to crack are college students. So Lord Chaitanya was the college professor. But he made his whole class surrender. And then all students, they all became great preachers. Still, nobody knew who Lord Chaitanya was. They thought, well, now he's become a great devotee. Until one day, Lord Chaitanya sat down on the bed of Krishna, right on the singhasana. Everybody said, Lord Chaitanya is a devotee. Why is he sitting on the Lord's bed? Why is he sitting on the Lord's singhasana? Some offense or something. What's going on? Then Lord Chaitanya, he started to manifest transcendental glory. He called for the brother of Shiva's Radhai. He said, did you go get a Advaita Gosai? You bring him here. You tell him that Lord, who he fasted for, who he cried out loudly for, who he worshipped the Tulsi, who worshipped Shaligram for whom he set all forth. But there's the four things he did. He chanted, he cried, and we cried for that Lord is come. Is here in Avia. Rama, he ran to Advaita's house. And as he got about halfway, or as he went quite a way along the way running, he realized that he never asked anybody where Advaita's house was. He had never been there before. Then he asked somebody, then suddenly he got a little doubtful, where's Advaita's house if you're standing in front of him? Right there, going. So when he came into Advaita's house, Advaita immediately, before he could say anything, chastised him. He was running about just very quickly in a nervous type mood. He chastised. How is it possible that God can incarnate into Kali Yuga? You expect me to believe that? And why in more places would he pick Nadia? You expect me to believe this? Ramayana said a word. He was completely preempted. Well, he knew that the Vaisya Gosai was very eccentric, that he was extraordinary, had divine qualities, so that he just sat down a little bit bewildered and decided to better wait. Then Advaita, he also sat down and was doing some puja, suddenly looked at him and said, what do you want? Then Ramayana offered his obeisances and prayed that my Lord, that Lord for whom you have waited for, who you were crying for, who you were calling for, that Lord who you were worshipping for, fasting for, he has come. He tells you, he has given this message that he has come. Here in Nadia, here in Nadia, Advaita Gosai, he became ecstatic. He said, jumping up and down, Haribo, Haribo! On my call, the Lord has come, he's come! He was rejoicing. Like that, we should also be rejoicing. Today, on Gaur Purnima, how Lord Chaitanya has come to Benedicta. How he has come to give out this rare jewel, this jewel which you cannot get by any amount of tapasya or austerity, by studying the scriptures. You can't get it by worshipping the forefathers. You can't get it by following regular principles. Actually, to get bhakti, to get pure love of Krishna, is only possible by the causeless mercy of Krishna and his devotees. In fact, even Krishna himself, he was very tight when it came to giving pure devotion. But Lord Chaitanya came and he's giving it freely. Namo Mahavadanaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. Giving it freely. How much we should be rejoicing. And how easily, simply by following Lord Chaitanya's instructions, by following his instructions, how easily we can take up, we can get this ecstatic symptoms of devotional service if we throw ourselves into following the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya. It says that one, by worshipping Krishna, it takes a long, long, long time before one can get pure devotion. Before one can get Krishna prema, it takes so long. So many births. But Lord Chaitanya is giving it just immediately. Very quickly, even just in some cases, at the same moment, in his association, people would get pure devotion. They would get Krishna prema. So easily he's making it available. And his plan was that the whole world should get pure devotional service. When we study history, I think it's much more than a coincidence that Lord Chaitanya appeared in 1486 and that in the year 1492 Columbus discovered the Americas. Why should we take it as a coincidence? And that 400 and some years later, that Srila Prabhupada would sail went to the Americas. And from the Americas, the land that was discovered during the presence of Lord Chaitanya, this Sankirtan movement took its first strong foothold outside of Bharatvarsha. Srila Prabhupada ki! Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki! In fact, during Lord Chaitanya's time, there was Maharaj Pratap Rudra, there was the great King Krishna Devarai in South India, there was also the Hussein Shah, who gave a complete license to Lord Chaitanya to go anywhere in his Mohammedan kingdom and preach. So that means that during those times Lord Chaitanya, he had put certain great rulers who all were somehow sitting in his master plan to make the whole world Krishna conscious. And simultaneously, so many things were going on around there. I don't know all the other things going on, otherwise there might be some more. But we can understand that now that this International Society for Krishna Consciousness is spreading all over the world. Prabhupada first went to the Americas, then he went to Europe, to Australasia, to the Hong Kong and different places all around the world, Africa, Russia. That somehow or another, this is all in a divine plan by Lord Chaitanya. That here in India especially, people are into all this karma kanda. They're into getting liberation. You'll never meet an Indian who says that, hardly you can meet, who's not a devotee of Lord Chaitanya. Of course, there are those, but apart from them, has anyone experienced that my goal in life is to get pure devotional service even birth after birth? Very rare, if any. Offhand, I've never met, and I've lived here for about 14 years. So, this is a special movement of Lord Chaitanya that actually the fifth goal of life, the Purusharthu, Param Purusharthu, the supreme destination of prayojan of life, the highest necessity, the highest goal is to have pure love for Krishna, higher than all the mystic powers, higher than all the impersonal realizations, higher than all, of course, insignificant to any material thing, what to speak of material things. That's insignificant. So, this is the some divine plan we can see. That in the West, where people have more or less forgotten about any type of religion, and whatever religion they have is so basic, that they can purely, when they hear about pure devotional service, they accept. They take it up. And then they're preaching here in Asia, in India, pure devotional service without any mix, without any adulteration of desire for liberation, desire for elevation. So we should preserve that purity that Prabhupada gave us, just like a guarded treasure house. The purity of simply serving for the desire of satisfying Krishna. Then we should take out. Just like I met one devotee, they said that, well, I may not go back to Godhead, but at least I can try to go to heavenly planet. One Indian devotee there, he said that, well, I don't want to marry any of the women here because they're not so beautiful, but I know that they're really beautiful in America and in heavenly planet. So next life, either I can be born in America or heavenly planet, then I'll fulfill my desire. You see, they're all time. But the actual thing you see. The Prabhupada's given us, and he's given us what the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are discussing. Akaha Kuru Nandana, having a single-pointed consciousness. Now we have to see that when we expand our different ashrams, as the new vihasas are coming, as the new programs are coming, that we don't bring into our pure movement. Prabhupada told us purity is the force, that we don't bring in any karmakanda compromises, any compromises with sense gratification, any compromises with liberation. What is the symptom of someone who wants sense gratification? They're very conditional in their service. They'll serve, but they have to have so many conditions. Because their desire is through their devotional service, they want a better material condition. So in this lifetime, their devotional service also, they put so many conditions. Therefore, we are again and again advised, sahaituka pratiyata, to be unconditional, to accept whatever is favorable for devotional service, to reject whatever is an obstacle, whatever is unfavorable, to preserve the purity of our devotion. What is the symptom of someone who wants liberation? They are very careful not to take any unnecessary risk. They're very careful that in their devotional service, they don't put themselves in some position where they may lose their sadhana or something. Even though the need is there, one has to go in some new place and preach, open up a new field, develop a new preaching. But someone who wants liberation, they'll think, why? I've come for peace to this movement. I don't want to go in such a difficult situation. I've come out of the material world, which is so difficult, so filled with misery, so I could get peace of mind, so I can get liberation. So why do I want to take so much janja, so much complications, so many difficulties? Why will I accept, like preaching, like going out in sankirtan and getting pinched or getting hit or getting yelled at? Or when my temple commander gets on my case to get up from Mangal Arati, I didn't come to Krishna consciousness for this. I came for peace. I didn't come to Krishna consciousness so when I eat with my left hand, some guy barks at me. My wrong hand. I wanted peace. I didn't come to Krishna consciousness that they can sprinkle water on me when I'm sleeping because I'm late. These are, when you're coming out of knowledge, coming out of some desire for liberation, peace. But that's another danger. It's another, just a demon to devour us. What if Krishnadas Kaviraj praying Chaitanya Charitamrita, I'm giving up Vedic religion, I'm giving up family duties, I'm giving up all kinds of attachments, I'm giving up even the desire for being materially happy, I'm giving up the desire for mental peace, I'm giving up everything. I simply want to absorb my mind in the service of Sri Sri Radha Madhava, following in the mercy and getting the mercy of Nitai Gaur. It's my only goal in life. So, this is our special opportunity that Prabhupada has given us Krishna consciousness in its pure form. He didn't compromise to give a little Gyana Mistrita Bhakti, devotion with knowledge, devotion with speculative knowledge, devotion with karma, devotion with any material tinge. He gave pure. Simply engaged in the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That purity, it is of course the duty of the GBC to protect, duty of every devotee to protect in his own life, to see what is the we that's going to change. Because if we don't have that focus on pure devotion, if we're focusing on some kind of peace, focusing on some kind of material comfort, and there's some condition which is our focus, then what happens is we won't be able to taste that pure nectar, and our mind will be disturbed. It will be disturbed, it will be agitated by that very desire for peace. It will be agitated by the very desire for comfort. But by absorbing ourselves, as it's given here, in hearing about Krishna, in engaging in devotional service to Krishna, we automatically become peaceful. We automatically are comfortable, no matter what condition we're in. That is the real happiness that every one of us is yearning for, every one of us is crying for. So that was the mercy of Advaita Gosai, that he called Lord Chaitanya down. And that was the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, that he carried Lord Chaitanya to us all over the world. He even carried it back to India in its pure form. You want to be happy? Chant Hare Krishna. For the pleasure of Krishna. It came out one time, they wanted to chant for rain or something. Prabhupada said, no, we'll chant without any condition. But Prabhupada's chanting is so powerful anyway, it rains. But that's not our condition. We don't make any condition to Krishna. He's swatantra. He's independent. And we have full faith that by satisfying him, we will be satisfied. If he satisfied the Mahabharata, Mamai Vamsa Jiva Loka, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, we are his part, we'll be satisfied. There's no independent endeavor required. So, in our Krishna conscious movement, the more that we can develop our taste for chanting, taste for hearing, naturally we'll be free from misery. But how to do that? Sometimes we see that people are really nectar hounds. They want to get so many books and read, and they want to try to get the nectar. But then we see that although they're hungry, that hunger was in their mind. The hunger wasn't in their soul. And then when they ate so many pastimes of the Lord, they couldn't digest. And as a result, they had to vomit it out, and they left the movement due to food poisoning. If you eat food, it doesn't digest, it becomes poison. The how to get an appetite to actually hear the Lord's pastimes, to understand them, that is through preaching. That is through preaching the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Prabhupada has taught us, through this book distribution, through preaching Harinam Sankirtan. That is how we get the real appetite. To sit and hear for hours and hours on end here in Mayapur and in Abhadip Dham. To be awake when our spiritual master gives a lecture in the Bhagavatam class. That appetite, that ability to digest. Prabhupada said if you have a strong appetite, you can digest a stone. So we also need a spiritual appetite. Not just a mental desire to know more and then to show off others or something, but the actual appetite, that real eagerness and desire to taste the pastimes of Krishna nectar, to to taste the devotional mood of the advanced devotees, how they're expressing themselves in serving their spiritual master through their practical service and surrender. That eagerness to experience that comes from our own devotional service. Not to some exterior artificial endeavor. So by engaging in the Sankirtan movement, by working together with all the devotees around the world to build Srila Prabhupada's dream, and Lord Nityananda's predicted big Mayapur temple, by working together to push on book distribution, to expand the movement of Krishna consciousness, that will give us the realization and the real appetite, the real appreciation of Krishna's pastime, which will end all the miseries of this material world. There's no other shortcut. There's no other way. When Ramananda Rai started giving all the ways, Lord Chaitanya rejected Varnashram Dharma as being external. He rejected surrendering to Krishna as being external. He first of all only agreed that hearing from the lips of pure devotees the science of Krishna consciousness, that was the first thing he accepted. Yes, this is completely transcendental. And from there he took off. Because Prabhupada would give us Krishna consciousness, and then he's engaging us in giving his books out, which are pure Krishna consciousness. Therefore, by this purely authorized method given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can actually experience Krishna prema. Through this Sankirtan movement. So, I'm very unqualified to speak, especially, it's very embarrassing in front of so many advanced and senior godbrothers and acharyas. Actually, this lifetime is very short. It's going by so fast. Someone was mentioning how from 1 year to the next, I think Srila Vishnupada, it seems like 10,000 years go by. Of course, that's because they're all so advanced that even though this 10,000 years are going by from 1 year to the next, I could also appreciate. But I was thinking the same time that in this 10,000 years that I hardly did anything. The movement's going on in it, but I could personally hardly could do much as to what I wanted to do or what I should have done for Srila Prabhupada. Somehow the time is going by, and it really seems that ISKCON is moving ahead in leaps and bounds. But personally, then how much more I could have done or should have done in that day of Brahma that went by in this 1 year. How many opportunities slipped through my fingers to preach to someone, to engage in some service, to be more serious. I can't speak for others. But for myself, I can see that there's so many opportunities to increase my service that seem to just escape me. Maybe someone else feels as Vaishnavas would mention it, by hearing from them about Krishna consciousness, we forget our miseries. That in this festival, whenever I heard from the advanced Vaishnavas, I could forget my miseries. But that they somehow or another bless me and all the other devotees so that we can be engaged the whole year in pure Krishna consciousness so intently and so enthusiastically, that we may maintain that concentration without any deviation, without a chance for Maya. Like that, the same position may be there, but they're changing their attitude from from sense gratification to devotional service. But those who are living in the temple, temples especially for Brahminical culture, Srila Prabhupada told me, I'm very much enthused about the congregational preaching, Namahatta, because in Los Angeles, on a morning walk, Prabhupada turned to me and just out of the sky blue, he said that, don't think that all these people are going to live in our temple. He said there are going to be so many people who are, our temples are, this is hard for me to get to, our temples are like the Christian church, it's only churches and congregations. That in our temple there are a few devotees who will be teaching the other people and they'll be worshiping in their homes. But he indicated that the devotees in the temple were the few devotees, that the community around the temple, those were special preachers. Those were the core to convert the whole rest of the society into devotees. So there is definitely different standard of Kanishtha Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari. He just said in a very brief way. So if someone has already come up to rendering 24 hours a day devotional service to Krishna, they shouldn't be bewildered by some idea of Varnashram or something else as a reason to reduce their service. Rather, someone who's doing nothing, better to do something. And like this, we should always take forward steps. Prabhupada said we our purpose is to go step by step. We may not do jumping process. I just heard a tape, he said this exact word. We go step by step, not jumping process. But that means we should also not jump back into the fire of Maya. If we already come up to a certain level of devotional service, we should claim to maintain it. And for somebody who's not at all in devotional service, well, they can come up one step higher to do for their material activity and give something to Krishna, and then to gradually, as they increase their devotional activities, doing more regular principles, chanting more, they gradually come up. But if a full-time initiated Brahmin or devotee feels that he has to go back again to that type of stage, obviously it's a compromise. It's a compromise. So we should see the overall picture that everyone has got their individual advancement. That we want to establish Dvaiva Varnashram, which is based on pure devotional service. And there may be steps that people take. But this Krishna conscious movement is showing what is the ultimate step. What is the highest standard? And we cannot compromise that. Rather now bring up those in Maya and darkness more and more into the light. There may be shades, but they cannot. But we cannot compromise what is the pure standard. Without that pure standard, then there's no hope. That must be maintained. That's my personal realization in this, and what I heard from Srila Prabhupada. I hope that was all right. All the Acharyas have questions today.
Now, you mentioned in your question. You mentioned in your class that Lord Chaitanya, he was born in 1486. So now 500 years later would be 1986. We're in 1983. Still, we don't hear very much about that 500th anniversary of Lord Chaitanya coming up. Maybe you could say something about that.
Pachadavita Maharaj wants me to say something about the 500th anniversary of Lord Chaitanya. Because it's only 3 years from now. Actually, a couple years ago I brought this up, but it was hard to get much enthusiasm, because here in India, Already they've started, they've already organized committees for the 500th year anniversary, because in India everything takes so long that they figured that they better start 5 years or 6 years in advance to be able to get it together by that time. But actually in ISKCON, everything's so fast that when I brought it out, everyone thought that 5 years ahead of time, who thinks 5 years ahead? You know, we'll worry about it a couple months before the festival, or maybe a year before. But my idea was that, you know, 500 years doesn't come very often. We may not be here to see the next 500th year anniversary, or the 1,000th year, so it should be done in a way that lasts more than one day. But rather than just have the one-day festival all over the world, that just like in many big festivals in the world, they have the whole year is an observation. The whole year is with many celebrations. And then if we can get the 1 year to be so big, maybe we can even just take it off from there. So my intelligence is limited, so I came up with a few ideas that, well, as a preliminary, because in the West people don't know about Lord Chaitanya, we could form various committees, taking the people, just like we see in the movies, Harvey Cox, so many big names in every country. They have the theologians, they have the philosophers, they have their favorable educationalists or government people, that we make some type of committees to bring them in and start having informal seminars in different places, just as a warm-up to let people know a little bit about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and start to stir up a little bit of, you know, when you try to rev up a car, it's better if you warm up the engine first rather than try to start from a cold start. So these are some ideas. I sent out some letters. We're going to have our meeting in Vrindavan for the 500th, or maybe today for the GBC committee on this. But the biggest inspiration I just got was a few days ago when Srila Rameshwar and Surabhi Maharaj and others were talking about making dioramas of Lord Chaitanya. That if we could have in every major temple, but not every temple of the world, a whole set of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pastimes. And here in India also, then we either rent a hall, or we go in a public park and we set up and we have a big exhibition. I saw that the exhibition in the West at the L.A. Rath Yatra and at the Washington Rath Yatra, people are very interested in seeing all the Rajasthani swords, the ashtrays or whatever, hookahs used by the kings. They want to see all things. They like to see the dioramas, the movie. That if we had a whole exhibition of Lord Chaitanya pastimes, that this would be something that would be very attractive. And now I know Srila Rameshwar is discussing about making a mass production. But it would take several years to come up. And then we could show for the whole year, we could have different exhibitions on this celebration of the 500th year anniversary of Lord Chaitanya. Here around India, there's already discussion about following the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya to all the cities from Dwarka down to South India and back up to Jagannath Puri here to Mayapur. Like this we're held, but now we're still at the planning stage. Because my defect is that I have a lot of enthusiasm, but I'm a little dependent on the reciprocation from my God brothers at this stage, that when they also show some enthusiasm, it gives me a lot of encouragement. So, actually, 3 years is nothing. There's so much to be done. These are just a couple ideas we came up with. We haven't really got into a deep discussion, but I feel that 3 years we should plan out every month, every week, coming up to the 500th anniversary, and then extending to the whole year, that in all the major cities, with big PR, with press releases, starting from here, maybe relay, maybe whatever, this has to be discussed, what is the best way. But we should make a literal explosion around the world. The relay of Lord Chaitanya exhibitions, with so many big authorities also confirming, to establish the faith in the people that this Krishna conscious movement is a bona fide movement stemming from the greatest benefactor of the whole humankind, Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. People should realize that he has a unique contribution, and that this contribution is the bona fide process for this particular day and age. So actually, if every temple takes up this little program of trying to organize the local people to form an observance committee for Lord Chaitanya at the beginning, and then starting in the colleges for this year, having different seminars, different programs, a very good subject to start to discuss, that it's coming up, there's going to be some big festivals, there's going to be some big programs, and people should know about this great historical person, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is changing the world. And then if our brains think up of various slogans and various ways of attracting the people around the world to Lord Chaitanya for this celebration, then we can use this as a send-off, because it happens to coincide with Prabhupada's 90th anniversary. He was born in 1896. That means that 1986 is his 90th anniversary, birth anniversary. So we also have to do something very special that year for Srila Prabhupada, who brought Lord Chaitanya to the West and all over the world. So right now we're still on the drawing board, and since we haven't had our meeting yet, so I can't say any detailed plan and programs. These are just some of the things that we've been discussing. But everybody should start to think about it and start to try to get it together. I've written many letters to the Temple President's Committee on this subject, but I didn't get any reply, frankly. So I didn't get any feedback. I can't say what they thought of it. I gave 26 different ideas how to start now with preparing for the 300, for the 500th year anniversary. All I can do is request everyone to know that time goes so fast that we have to start thinking now if you want to make it the biggest thing that happened. You want to make it the biggest celebration, and then follow that over to the opening of our big temple. That enthusiasm should just carry us right over until our big temple is open, and then from there, the sky is the limit. And now what it means is that we have to start to get ourselves into that mood of complete dedication to Lord Chaitanya's main temple and to Lord Chaitanya's movement, as Prabhupada has given us this blueprint. It can only happen by a total world cooperative spirit. Even to celebrate this 500th year anniversary, if we do it at a worldwide scale, that was already reported yesterday by the Ananda Bazar Patrika, the biggest newspaper in India. They said that a discussion is held that simultaneously in every city of the world on Gaur Purnima Day, they're going to celebrate the 500th year anniversary. And that now the world leaders have come to discuss this. So in India, this is very impressive to the people. But I don't want to just make it a one-day thing. It should be at least 1 year, if not the whole decade. And it's simply a matter of our enthusiasm. We saw that Srila Gurudev Bhagavan Goswami, his Krishna's marathon goes on for 3 months. They're so enthusiastic. So why can't our 500th year anniversary go on for a decade? Or a century? Thank you. Any other questions? We have to go for the initiation here.
Krishna's family of Lord Chaitanya is not doubted by the Vaishnava. Now, talking about the Western world, why is it that Lord Chaitanya is such a great historical personality, but nothing has been written about him? And two, why is it that many people still doubt Lord Chaitanya when you tell them where Lord Chaitanya is Krishna? They said, no, we don't know anything about him. What proof, what is the authenticity from the statues that proves that Lord Chaitanya is actually the Supreme Lord? Guru Maharaj, what do you say to that?
There are many proofs. Of course, the most famous that we quote is in the Bhagavatam. Krishna Varanam, Krishna Krishna, Stamma Pangas, the Parashadam, Yagyais, and Kirtana Pray, the Janti, Samayana Saha. The Prabhupada has given us several proofs. And actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur did a real research on this, so the Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And they've come up with about 50 slokas from the different Puranas, Upanishad, from the Mahabharata, describing that in the Kali Yuga, the Lord comes as yellow color, that the all the time Kali Yuga is known as Mahaprabhu, saying the Lord God distributes the Harinam in the Kali Yuga, he comes as a sannyasi, he comes as Chanda Avatar. There's so many slokas, I didn't memorize all of them. Mahaprabhu Ayuba. So there are many, many proofs in the Vedas that all indicate that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is the fulfillment of the prediction that Krishna would come as a sannyasi, as a hidden avatar, as a person giving out the Sankirtan movement. There's no one else who's done that. There's no one else who fulfills all those qualifications. And Lord Chaitanya, when he was here, he actually did everything that was predicted. And he did things which are extraordinary. Even Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he accepted that Lord Chaitanya was Krishna himself. So, the people of the West don't know because the movement just came there, what was it, 17 years ago. And why they don't know India is because the followers of Lord Chaitanya, after several hundred years, it was predicted that the movement would become dormant. And that's exactly what happened. It was just a very slim line of acharyas that were carrying on the doctrines. Therefore, Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, he was preaching all over India, but even his followers, because they didn't work together, everything broke up. Now there's so many Gaudiya Mathas. And instead of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being understood, people are understanding this Ram and this Krishna and so many others. So, similarly, to convince the people, it's not possible to convince the people that the avatar of the Sankirtan movement is bona fide unless the people who are convincing actually themselves are in the mood of Sankirtan. Sankirtan means many doing kirtan together. Japa is one, kirtan is a few. Sankirtan means everyone together. That means that they're all singing the same tune. They're all singing the same mantra. They're clapping and playing their instruments in time. The Sankirtan means together. So when This movement, as long as it remains together, as long as everyone keeps in that cooperative Sankirtan mood, then people will be convinced. And wherever you see in history that that mood of working, cooperating together was compromised, then they lose their potency for convincing people about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, everybody is very easily convinced. It's just that they don't know anything because we're very few. We've only reached a few. So if you go on in telling people, if you're convinced, and you tell people in the same cooperative spirit, they will also be convinced. There's no doubt about it. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
It's going to take about 10-15 minutes to set up the cushions so everyone can take this opportunity to wash yourself, face or whatever, then assemble the temple in 15 minutes from now. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.